Hello, everyone. Welcome back. Hello, Tanya. Welcome back. We are here.
Hi, Heather.
I'm feeling pretty energized this morning. So you might, you know, we're just going to see where this goes. Like, energized. I'm feeling a little silly. Sometimes this happens when we meditate.
We've had potent meditations, hence.
How are you arriving today? Mm-hmm. What's the vibe over there in your part of the world?
Karachi land.
Karachi.
South Asia.
Yes.
How are we even doing this from like 5,000 miles away? But we are.
I know.
We're in exactly opposite time zones at this point. Yep. It's almost 11 p.m. at night for me, and it's almost 10 a.m. in the morning for Heather. It's kind of wild.
I know.
But our love for this craft is so deep that we love doing it and we love sharing it. So we're talking about Sutra 6 today, which also pertains to the chakras. And, you know, we talked about the chakras the last time, Heather, and I kind of like what you said, which is we like the chakras. We're yoga teachers. We work with the chakras, but it's not been something that's been gripping me a lot lately. But I do love how Lauren invites us in the sutra to tenderly travel and journey through each of the chakras and trace the river of life that flows through us through these chakras and how these energies are luxurious and they're shimmering.
Shimmering.
How our attention can be loving.
I just love
how
you
we can
so
lovingly.
Oh, so good.
How we can lovingly pay attention to each. You guys know we have seven chakras, and they start at the root, and they journey up towards the navel and the solar plexus, the heart center, throat, third eye, crown of the head. And how Lauren suggests and invites that we tenderly pay a visit to each one of them and linger and explore those energy centers. And then the yukti at the back of the book, the word to explore in Sanskrit is krama.
Krama.
Heather, why don't you read a little bit of krama?
So
how that makes us feel.
Yeah. Krama, progressing step by step. Order, uninterrupted or regular process, a sequence. Sometimes when you are making love or meditating, the energy of delight.
Delight
will slowly build and flow through each area of the body, touching everywhere, tickling and massaging. Here, the use of the word krama alerts us to notice both the progression of energy movement and the sense of it being poised to spring. So we were speaking before we started recording about this, like, anticipation, like anticipatory experience in our lives, could be in our meditation, especially in our meditation. Like, you have that feeling like you just need to get up and go do the thing. But the idea is, how do we stay with ourselves? And it's like agitating and almost irritating, but it's like thrilling. It gives you a sense of – it can give you a sense of juice or electricity or enthralled – like to be enthralled with that, to be so curious about staying, like in lovemaking. You don't want to leave before the orgasm, right? I mean, maybe sometimes you do, but like most likely we're like there, excited
Let's
about that
don't.
Experience with our most beloved. Yeah. And it's anticipatory, and it's thrilling, and there's building, and eventually this thing's going to happen, but it's not happening yet. And how do we savor that, how to be with that and not just want it to not miss that slow, steady progression, to not just want to get to the end, but to enjoy the building and the sequencing and the sequencing up to some sort of something, whether it's the release of an orgasm or whether it's this feeling that energy is rising inside of you through the chakras, and then it opens up and you're experiencing some sort of oneness or sensation of connection with all that is. So what's circulating with you
today? Whenever there is energy, there is a play of tension and release. In Tantra, we are stretching our capacity to pay attention. Oh my God, I love this. Stretching our capacity to pay attention. There is paying attention. There is swiftly grazing and gazing and passing by. And then there's lingering and tending and attending and paying attention.
Yeah.
In music, tension builds and then is released. In a conversation, tension can build and release. In meditation, tension can build focus or expanded awareness. And then maybe there's a dilation. Maybe there's a pulsation between that holding, that contracting, and that letting go. And there's such a juice and a journey to be covered between these two poles. In physics, tension pertains to stretching. In electricity, tension indicates voltage. The higher the tension, the higher the voltage. In sex and meditation, energy sensations may intensify in one area of the body. Until we feel we can't take it anymore. Then release and stream to the next area or dissolve into orgasm.
Thank you, Lauren, for these and amazing words. And so this
pulsing.
Yeah, I'm just saying, yeah, that's just so genius. So simple, so genius, but sorry, the dissolving. You were saying...
And I think this is really forgiving as well. If you were using this and bringing this into your meditation right now, this ability to gently observe and absorb and then to really, really narrow in on it and focus and zone in to then have a moment of expanded awareness and step back. And this movement between attention and then it's also even not focusing too hard and having an expanded awareness is a form of attention.
Right. Right. Yeah, all everything these layers of attention.
We are attending to. Yeah.
All the different ways that we can pay attention, that we can tend to. Yeah. And it reminds me of our last episode a little bit with the senses and like, you know, we can, it can be the so subtle that it's almost like you have to, it's like my eyes getting small because there's something way over there that I want, that I see there's some blip of color, that small tiny bird on the, you know, on the tree, and you have to get small and it's just so tiny, but it can be so gorgeous, so vibrant, you know, and then all the way to, something that.
So one of the things I do want to offer, because I've worked with people who have studied mindful meditation or have been, a lot of my students that have been struggling with meditation or have come into the practice of instinct. But prior to instinctive meditation, they were really focusing hard to clear the mind. I really want to be able to meditate because I've heard and I've read in Oprah's magazine or so-and-so book about how to meditate, that it's really good for my body and for my mind. And maybe it's anti-aging too. Whatever the reason that brings you to meditation. But this act of, I really need to clear the clutter in my mind. I really need to focus. I really need to meditate. I feel like it's so dangerous almost. It's so dangerous to your budding practice of meditation because you are pulsing, you are contracting always, you are expanding always, and this zeroing in on something can make you so micro, can make it so, can make you focus on the microcosm so much that it can almost become painful. But what we're not doing is we're not allowing the letting go, which is so essential in making space and understanding that meditation is as much a pulsation of life as a pulsation of experiences. Right. So,
yeah. And I mean, even in the little example I was giving of like, okay, to be, because the thing that captivates you is so tiny, maybe that will happen. Right. But then it's like, you don't naturally, we won't just stay there. Then you, your attention naturally will expand back out to the massive tree, to the forest that the bird is in. And then you like continue on your way. You're not going to stay there for the whole 20 minutes. And it's like, oh, the bird might fly away. Right. That's it. Just, that was a moment. It was a moment, a blip of time.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
And mm-hmm. and if you catch yourself being hard on mm-hmm. yourself and saying, oh my God, there was a mm-hmm. zone I touched for all of a half a second, mm-hmm. like 30 seconds, I swear by God, I was in that nirvana space mm-hmm. and it just slipped through my fingers. Well, hallelujah. Bravo. I am so happy that I touched 30 seconds of nirvana. People can go through lifetimes without tasting any of that. So even that. Mm-hmm. That's enough for now. And then perhaps the next time it'll be 35 seconds. Mm-hmm. And so the karmas build mm-hmm. on each other. There is always going to be the tension and the release, the coming together and the letting go, mm-hmm. the building up and the mm-hmm. release.
Something that so captivates you and 30 seconds later, like it just doesn't anymore. It just won't. And maybe something, there's going to be some things that captivate you for longer and you'll be able to luxuriate in that. And it's going to be amazing. But to be there in a space of a willingness, an acceptance of a willingness, an acceptance that it naturally will go away. Your attention will want to drift to something else and a willingness to allow it to move, right? Going back to a few couple of other episodes, like life is movement. We are movement. Like, that is the very nature of all of this. And there's tension inside of that because sometimes we just want to be able to stay there. But I think the more that we hold or constrict around that, that's the pain I think that you're talking about, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So maybe for an exploration that could be fun, and I would, you know, I mean, I've been meditating. I've been studying meditation for 10 plus years, but every time it's new, every time it's new. And so I want to indulge in this experiment, and I invite you to as well, Heather, and our listeners, that when you lay down or sit down or find a moment that you can let yourself drift, perhaps watch, observe, and let yourself be carried by any notion that's grabbing your fancy, that's grabbing your attention, and let yourself go there. And then maybe in a fraction of a minute, you find your mind wandering elsewhere or thinking about, you know, the dog that needs to be fed or the car that needs to be washed or whatever chores you may have to do. Or maybe you get so focused on the meditation that you actually lose the thread, you lose the magic, you lose the spaciousness of it. But I would like to remind myself in that moment that, oh, this too is part of my meditation. This too is part of my cycle. Mm-hmm. This focusing and zeroing in too much and then this complete sense of like, oh, yeah, I'm conscious. I'm conscious about this. I'm okay with this. This is fine. This pulsation is also part of my meditation. And this kind of also makes me want to talk about the triple shakti model that Lauren has been teaching us. And it's such an integral part of instinctive meditation.
I think we should talk about that on the next episode.
Yeah.
I think this is such a beautiful way to close out for today of that invitation to, I mean, I guess the word that comes is like this allowing for the wandering and the thing, there's something, there's going to be the thread of thoughts or a thought that will totally take you in a direction and you might then wander back to whatever it is that you started with and then you may go off in 20 different tangents. But this allowing, you know, at least at some point in your meditation journey to experiment with this openness, this sense of freedom, and the understanding, try on the understanding that there is always movement and from karma today that there is Well, there's a few pieces.
Progression.
The progression and then the sense of tension and release. Yeah.
And kramas are also build-ups, aren't they? Mm-hmm. It's like one brick on top of the other, laying the bricks, the foundation down to build the edifice of your practice.
Yeah, amazing.
So please share. I'd love to hear what our viewers and listeners experience when they go into that space and observe how the space opens and closes, what is the nature of your attention? That's a really juicy inquiry.
Question. What is the nature of your attention? And to be open to getting to know that this week and to be like a yes to yourself, a yes to, I'm so curious about my nature in the space of meditation. What is it? How is it day to day? No expectations, just, all right, that's my nature today. Or maybe you'll see patterns or what have you, and this is something we can be sharing together. Yeah.
Love it.
Thank you so much, Tanya.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, everyone. Of course, always for being here with us, for tuning in, for listening, for viewing, for sharing. We're excited to continue always. It's like we never want to stop, but it's good to stop. It's good to give it little bits. We talked about that as we were starting this, you know, having not so lengthy episodes so we can take it and sort of run with it in our lives and bring it in and not feel too overwhelmed, you know? There's so much information.
Juicy morsels.
The juicy morsels.
Juicy morsels of meditation.
Oh, yes. I love that. Thank you, Tanya. All right, everyone. So much love. Thank you, Tanya. Love, love. Bye.
Thank you, love.
Thank you for being here with us. Be sure to subscribe or follow the podcast so you receive updates when new episodes are available. And if you loved this podcast and are listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, we would so, so appreciate you leaving a rating and review. All the reviews really, really help us to reach more listeners like you. Learn more about Tanya and her online offerings by following her Instagram account, TanyaKazi1. You can find me on YouTube. Search for Alter Movement Studio, where you can find a full library of free classes on instinctive meditation, breathwork, and mindful movement. Every Monday, we release a new class on YouTube, so be sure to subscribe in order to continue learning with us. Thank you so much for being here. See you next week.